Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Jesus be glorified in our midst, be exalted in our midst. This morning, Lord, be hallowed. We say, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. This morning, we thank you. We come with our hearts open to receive from your presence. We come, O God, to magnify you. You are the reason. You are the reason. You alone are worthy. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Let the entrance of your word bring light. We thank you for the light of your word. We thank you for the wisdom and the counsel of your word. We pray this morning and we ask the Lord, shed it on our hearts. I pray for any heart that is heavy. Thank you that the only thing that can address it is your word. Give us an appropriate word, O Lord. A word, O God, that is fit in season to those who are weary. Now I thank you, that Lord, for as many that yearn to do more and to know you more, let the entrance of your word bring clarity. We give you glory. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. And all said, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you can do it. You can do it better. It's not unto man, but it's unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, if today is your first time of fellowshipping with us, you are in a good place where God dwells. Hallelujah. Anytime we gather, the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. Oh, I said amen. And anytime we gather, God Almighty is also here. Amen. This morning, I want to continue teaching on prayer. Because, you know, church, we can gradually come to a point in our walk with the Lord where prayer will become absent in our lives. Did you know that? Yeah, you can get to a stage of your life where prayer will become absent. Why is prayer going to become absent? Prayer is going to become absent because other things will replace it. Many things are competing for your attention. Many things are competing for your time. Many things are fighting so strong, you know, to occupy your space. But it's my prayer that as we continue to share on this all-important subject, you will be intentional. I said you'll be what? And you'll be conscious of the very fact that as you walk with the Lord, as part of your walk with the Lord is prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. You know, sometimes we do well when it comes to the corporate, where we all organize ourselves together and pray. Sometimes your prayer life seems to be better, you know, when it is organized. But you know, I'm talking about you also building a personal prayer life where you can spend 6 hours in his presence. You can spend 5 hours in his presence. You can spend adequate time, good time with God in his presence until you feel a release in your spirit that you have had true communion with God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, that you should continue in prayer. Why is Paul admonishing the church in Colossae that they should continue in prayer? He says, without praying also for us, that God would open up a door of utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. New Living Translation version. Amen. Let me read from the verse 2. Colossians 4:2. Verse 3. He says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. Turn to somebody and tell him, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. So you must be alert of what you are doing. You must be intentional about prayer. You must be conscious about prayer. You shouldn't pray as and when you feel like. But he's saying devote. The word devote is the word committed. Hallelujah. So the Bible is saying that make some commitments to prayer. Commitment. The same way you are committed to your job, the same way you are committed to your marriage, the same way you are committed to your children, the same way you are committed to your school. The Bible says that you need to be committed when it comes to the area of prayer. Hallelujah. It must be conscious. And interestingly, you would find that our brethren on the other side are very devoted. They don't do it once in a day. They don't do it twice in a day. They don't do it three times in a day. Some do it three times. Our brothers from where Jesus came from, around that Israel, you know, the Jews. They do it three times in a day. But our brothers on the other side are devoted and are committed to prayer five times in a day. Look, let me tell you, even if it's five times and it's 30 minutes, it's still intentional. Let me tell you, you know, if you are in a relationship and you are not intentional, depending on the relationship you have and the attitude and the temperament of the person, you may never talk. Because there are some people who don't initiate conversation. There are people who are naturally quiet. You know, I've seen relationships that are broken because of communication. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? You know, and so one party would have to be very intentional. And this morning, the prophet was teaching us that, look, it's very difficult. It's difficult because you are speaking to somebody who you don't get a response from. So that you are the one who is supposed to make that devotion and that commitment to it. You know, when you read from James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says that draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. God doesn't draw near to you. You draw near to God, and as you draw near to God, God gets closer to you. Are you getting me? So let's say, I want to draw near to this sister. In the past, I was quite a distance. All right? And then my complaint is that she's not close. She's not close. And I'm expecting her to be close. But she's where she is. Maybe we are in a relationship. She's where she is. She's not determined to make any move. How can I be close to her? I will have to be devoted and committed. As I draw near to her, she's getting closer to me. As I draw closer to her, she's becoming closer to me. As I draw closer, we get closer. In the same way also, that is how it is when you have to be close with God. You, the creation, must be determined and be devoted in your heart to draw closer to your Creator. And you, it calls for a devotion. I'm saying that it calls for a devotion. Hallelujah. According to Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, you have to devote. Yeah. When you are not dedicated to achieving a certain result, you will not achieve it. Hallelujah. So it says, devote yourself to what? Devote yourself to what? Devote yourself to prayer. Your devotion this time round must be to prayer. You must have times and seasons within the day and throughout the day where you can spend quality time with God Almighty. Always remember, that until you abide in him, you cannot do anything. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, until you abide in him, you cannot achieve much. In John chapter 15, let's look at the verse 1. You know, this was Jesus's encouragement, you know, to his disciples. Now, Jesus's disciples are not 12. Jesus's disciples are now millions. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Aha, initially he chose one, then he chose another, then he chose another, till they became 12. Even by the time he was leaving the earth, the true disciples were more than 12. The true followers of him, because a disciple is someone who follows a leader, sit at his feet to be trained and to learn from him. Hallelujah. You know, he says, I am the true vine. Say, I am the true vine. Which means that if there's a true vine, there are false vines. Does it make sense? Implications. I am the true vine. And Jesus was the one making this emphatic statement. I am the true vine. So what he's actually telling you is that there are many people around who are equally vines. But if you want to connect to the true vine and the real vine, I am the one. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That word husbandman is not a married man. That word husbandman is the word farmer. New Living Translation, this same scripture, I just switch it. I always say that always have different versions of scripture so that you can have message. I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. All right? Uh-huh. So you don't even need to look into a dictionary. Once you read other versions, you get deeper meaning. New Living Translation says, my Father is the gardener. Hallelujah. Yeah. So a gardener, what does a gardener do? He tends, he takes care of the plant. Is that not the case? But Jesus actually is the vine that the Father has planted. Amen. He said, my Father is a husbandman. Verse 2, King James. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, the question I want to ask is that until you abide in him, you can never be a branch. Until you connect to him, you are disconnected. And once there is a disconnect, there is no way you can receive nourishment as a branch from the vine. And most often than not, we disconnect even in the area of prayer. Most often than not, we are disconnected in the area of prayer. We are not communicating. You know, so God never gets feedback from you. Hallelujah. But this morning, I want to challenge you that if there is any way you are going to be devoted, one of the ways is in the area of prayer. And I will tell you why. I'm going to give you 10 reasons why you need to pray. Hallelujah. Is it powerful? Yeah. So, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Because once you are connected, and you are connected very well, you will bring forth fruits. You will bring forth fruits. So he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He taketh away. He taketh away. God's interest is to see you fruitful. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So, when you are not bearing fruit, you are taken away. You can lose your place of prominence. You can lose your place of elevation. You can lose your place of progression when you are not bearing fruit. And you may not bear fruit because you are not truly connected. May God help you to be truly connected. I said, may God help you to be devoted to prayer. And may God help you that you are connected to the Father through prayer. Hallelujah. But when you start bearing fruit, then the gardener now comes around, which is the Father, to start working on your life. And the work is that even if one fruit is what was seen, he's going to work on you such that you bear much fruit. So he starts purging. When he's purging, there are things that are unwanted that can affect your growth and that can affect and impede your fruitfulness. He cuts those things off. We can go into all those things. You know, becoming fleshy, becoming worldly. The three key things that Brother John talks about: love not the world and the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So he comes around and starts working on those areas of your life. There are some areas of our lives that will serve as a weight. Some of them are not sins, but some are weight that does not make you run the race and run the race well. So the master, who is the Father, who planted the vine that you are connected to, once you are connected and you are bearing fruit, then he starts pruning, purging. I'm telling you, purging is very, very, very important. I remember when I was a child, you know, I think every week or so, you have to take your chloroquine syrup. Every week, Sunday evening. I mean, they were the most difficult times. I mean, when it's Sunday evening, I'm not happy. In the morning, I'm not happy. In the evening too, I'm not happy. Because, I mean, if you are late for Sunday school, I mean, you are bad baby. I mean, you the woman, she will just beat you. You are nothing before her. And she doesn't fear. She tell you, I don't fear you. I gave birth to you. I don't fear you. You know? And then in the evening, you have to take your malarynx. And then I think once every month, there is, you have to take some either purgative or laxative. Purgative, the wormer is dealing with worms. But purgative, to flush your system. I don't know where they learned it from, but maybe there is some wisdom in it. And as you take it, you are running straight to the washroom. And the idea was that it should cleanse your system so that your system can work very well. Oh yeah, most of our cars that have these injectors, I mean previously, I don't know what the cars use now. I mean the earlier ones were carburetors and then we moved to fuel injectors. Now I don't know, do we still have injectors? Yeah. So you notice that even some type of fuel that you use can affect the injectors. Because some of the fuel, the octane level, is it octane? Level is less. And there's more impurity in it. So once you use it continuously, it blocks the injectors. And so sometimes you take it to the mechanic and they'll say, oh, they are going to purge it. Why are they going to purge it? They are going to purge it for a better performance. When God chooses to purge you, he is only looking out for something better to come forth out of your life. Sometimes people weep and people cry when they are going through the period of purging. They feel God has abandoned me. I pray that you will be able to see when the Lord is taking you through a process that can make you a better person. Because sometimes the things we are even binding that is not moving is actually God at work purging you to make you a better person. To make you a more spiritual person. To make you a more fruitful person. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that the ones that beareth fruit, what does he do? He purgeth. And what is the intention? What is the intention of the purging? I said, what is the intention of the purging? The intention of the purging is so that you will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. May the Lord cause you to bear much fruit. Oh yeah. If you're a man of prayer, you can bear fruit. You can bear fruit Because anytime you are connected to him and you are connected to your source, when your source, you know, is filling you, you have what it takes to bring forth fruits. But when you are disconnected, I mean, even if you are, let's say you are a son, a normal son that is in the house, you won't talk about anything. When your reports come, some of you, when you were in school, your parents never saw your terminal report. Not because you were not good at school, but I mean, there was no connect, there was disconnection between you and your parents. So sometimes they don't even know why they should go and pay fees. And so you are not talking about the fees. You are not, even when they sack you, you don't come and say it. You just immediately they sack you. Now you are rather looking forward to going to play football. So you go and play. When you come home, you are even forgotten that you are supposed to tell your parents that the following day you cannot be in school because you have to pay your school fees. And I'm telling you that if you are a son who communicates and communicates very well, you will see that your parents will also meet the needs of yours. Prayer is not just asking God to do something for you. That's not prayer. Our understanding, there are various kinds of prayer. That is why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. So there's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of intercession. There are different kinds of prayers. All put together makes it an effective prayer. But you know, people have this notion that as for prayer there, you must always go and take. You must always ask. I don't think that when you're a parent and your child is always asking you for things, after some time you tell him that, you know something, I don't have money. They will become very disinterested. Once you show up, they know that Onokwanono, he has come to add to the bills of the house. Hallelujah. There must be moments and times where you feel that you must spend quality time with him. Just wanting to be around him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen, if you're a child, learn this. Sometimes your parents, the fact that you have come around, their interest is you have come around because you really long to see them. And so you just come and chat them up. They enjoy it far more. And then whilst you are in their presence, as they are engaging you, they'll be asking you how the day was. And then through the conversation, they will begin to discover certain needs which you didn't bring up, but they discovered themselves. But through the continued fellowship with your parents, you will see that certain needs are met without you asking for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because sometimes we feel that, well, you brought me to the earth and you are responsible. And sometimes that's how some children think. Have you heard that statement before? Hallelujah. So your school fees also, the baby also, what will wear also also. But I'm telling you that, look, even if that is the case and they will do it, let them do it with joy. Let them do it with joy. They do it with joy from their hearts. Hallelujah. In the same way also, as you are devoted to prayer and you spend quality time with God and you fellowship with him, there are times that you get into the presence of the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, as they ministered unto God, as they ministered. So they stayed in the presence of God and they were just ministering to him. They were blessing his name. They were worshiping him. They were adoring him. They were thanking him. As they were ministering unto God, the Bible says, then God spoke separate unto me. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. So sometimes as you are ministering, just staying around with him and spending quality time with him, God will speak and give you direction. As they ministered to the Lord, and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. They were just having sweet fellowship. We share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But you know that that confession you are making is not true. Because apart from coming to have fellowship with your fellow friends, you don't have fellowship with God. Some of us, we are in fellowship with friends. When we come to church, we are excited to be in fellowship with friends, but not in fellowship with God. But I'm challenging you from today that you must be devoted. Turn to somebody and tell him, you got to be devoted. Oh, tell him, you got to be devoted. How many want your spouse to be devoted to you? Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes you find some wives wanting their husbands to look into their face as they are talking to me, as they are talking to you. Oh, hi. Made my suit here. Have you heard that before? So you notice that the year alone is not enough. You want the facial expression. You want to see the face with which he's communicating what he's communicating. It is my prayer that this church will be noted as a church where people have personal relationship with God. So everyone having personal relationship, when we gather and we meet, already we are on fire for the Lord. We continue from where we left off. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us. Colossians chapter 4, back. It says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind. Your mind must be alert. You see, it's just like the lady saying that, look at my face. Be alert. Be conscious of me. Be conscious that I'm around. Because have you noticed that sometimes somebody can be around, but you don't take notice of the person. I just say, oh, waha, waha. Waha, waha. Wabat, waha. Pins, you be nominal. Hallelujah. So God is saying we must have an alert mind. Your mind must be alert when you are having time with God. Your mind must be alert. Hallelujah. Not only an alert mind. So there are two key areas of your life that must be involved in prayer. Number one, your mind must be involved. The alertness of your mind. And then your heart. Your heart must also be involved. Have you seen that sometimes when somebody serves you food, you can really feel whether the heart is involved or the heart is not involved? You know, because the first and foremost, maybe you just get home and then they ask, Ubedidi. Huh? So you know when you just come, I mean, you're taking your bath and everything, you are just around, you are hoping that they will ask you a question. Then they will ask you, bet you will drink Milo. It's like they have told you what you will eat. I mean, you have no options. All the options have been exhausted. What we have is Milo. You drink Milo or nothing else. Because I don't have energy for anything. I don't have energy for chips. I'm making chips. I don't have energy for organizing rice. Mercy. This week, what will you eat? What will you eat this week? Who will betide you? Oh, this week I'm thinking of okra stew. Oh, okra stew! Okra stew means work. He's not ready to do some okra stew. Oh, okay. I mean, just do something simple for me. A simple thing like contumery. Contumery! No, it's a lot of work. So, so yes, some people say, what will you eat? I don't know it. I'm full. You go to bed with this hunger. It doesn't, because you see, what you will receive and the face that will meet you, Charlie, is rather better that you sleep and be hungry than 2 a.m. Start having small, small. You know, small, small. Enkete. Or 2 a.m. You see that? Saucepans are just making noise in the kitchen. You know, organizing curry soak. I mean, something you will never eat. Organizing curry soak. I thank God for my wife. No matter how deep she's asleep. Sometimes I feel I'm a bother to her, then she'll say, oh, it doesn't matter. Look, let try and eat something, you know, because you are so tired. Oh, yeah. I've never felt like I'm bothering her. Yeah. But always I don't like that. So for those of you who are about to marry, don't think that that's how it is. It's not like that. Even the pillow, you are fortunate when they say, hallelujah. May the Lord help us to be devoted to prayer. Oh, I said, may the Lord help us to be devoted to prayer. Your devotion to prayer is very key. Hallelujah. It's very key. Because, look, we are living in a world, an unseen world, a world that many things, if I'm majority, I'm sure that maybe majority, over 3/4 of the things cannot be seen. The things you see are not as powerful and influential like the things that you do not see. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, King James. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we walk in the flesh. In other words, we operate in the flesh and relate with people, and we engage in things with people we can see. We do business with people we can see. Is that not the case? We are married to people we can see. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought of it that the person you just proposed to is a mermaid from Mauritius? No, think about it. But you see, so even the proposal is an act of faith. Honestly, we all took a risk. Both sides. You know, because the guy who proposed to you maybe is also some demon. You see, and you said yes to a demon. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So the Bible is saying, though we walk in the flesh, we engage people in the flesh. We relate with people in the flesh. We demand things in the flesh. But we are not warring after the flesh. See how Message Bible puts it. See how Message Bible puts it. It says, the world is unprincipled. It means that the rules of the game in this world does not follow any principle. You see, when you are fighting with somebody like Mike Tyson, there's the rule. You see, by the time your years are gone, I mean, by the time you disqualify him, you have lost your years. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, he's disqualified, not to fight, maybe for 10 years. But Charlie, guy, you can't hear again. Are you getting me? So there are some people, and I believe that Satan operates that way. He doesn't operate with principle. Yeah. And then he says, it's dog eat, dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. The world will never give you what you deserve. The world is not fair with the people in it. You know, and that's why sometimes you are complaining. You see, instead of complaining, rather pray. Instead of complaining, pray that God's will be done. Because life will not treat you with fairness. And number one, why should you be born where you were born? I mean, some people, immediately they are born, it's like they have landed Buckingham Palace. Bang! So the very day that they were born, you could even measure their wealth. True or not true? And there are some people too. They are born in a manger. But you see, because those who are born in a manger, at least our Savior who was born in a manger, knew that life is not fair. He spent quality time with his Father in prayer always, that his will be done. And that man that was born in a manger today across the nations of the world has become the name that is above every name. That at the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee bow. It's not about the background, but it's about a certain level of devotion to your commitment to God. Yeah. You know, those of you, you see somebody from here, you say, oh, where are you? Where are you? Oh, where are you? Croony. You know, listen, you have to be very, very careful. Because you didn't choose where to be born. And because of the person where he's born from, there is an attitude there. You see, when you are born on by the seashore, do you understand? Uh-huh. One day, I went to a place in Zolenzo. You know, well, it was like a break holiday, but I just felt so burdened to go there and go and give them some clothes and some things. So I as part of the holiday, I decided to go to Zolenzo. Look, I was very surprised. A child that is less than 1 year, I mean, the child just falls into the water. And he's swimming, and the way the child can swim. I said, that's the environment he was raised. And so the swimming, you might think that he's a great person, but he's a great person to you because you were not born within that environment. Maybe if you were also born and raised in that environment, you will look like a hero. Are you getting me? In the same way, also, some people talk the way they talk because of the environment they were raised. Some people behave the way they behave because of the environment. You see, there are some people, when you get married to them, every day is like Hiroshima bomb in your room. Because he has been used to living in confusion. Where there is confusion in the room. It's like when you get to the room, you don't have any place to stand. Now, that is the person you have gotten married to. The person has no problem based on where the person was raised. You will now have to learn how to live with the person. Accept the way he is. Work towards how. And then meet at a point and have a certain level. You see, the problems we have here, even in marriages, I'm telling you, it's just the lack of acceptance for each other. That's the key of acceptance is what you need, I'm telling you. Look, there are no problems with marriage. There are no problems, trust me. There are many things that influences a person's life. The school you went influences your life. There is a way he's been trained how to do things. You see, you are squatting on the WC, but you are supposed to sit. And so, this is where the problem is. Why are you squatting? I have known that we squat. Why are you squatting? You are supposed to sit. No, I can squat. You are supposed to, bang! Then the problem has started. But really, their backgrounds is what is producing those things. I don't even know why I got into all that. So listen, the understanding you must have is that, honestly, mainly in marriage, there are no problems. It's just the ability to understand the background of each other. Once you can have that understanding, you can make a very peaceful journey together. Is somebody understanding what I'm trying to say? Is it what you are talking about? Flowers. For what? To show you love. Flowers. The best you can get is maybe in Samsung. In Samsung, so the mawa ebesho. Do you know in Samsung? It's a type of leaf. I remember when we were kids. That's the reason why I didn't want to go to my grandmother. Because immediately we put our bags up. Hey, men cry for an abo. Hey! As you are walking, these leaves, they can literally burn you. They bite. Do you understand? And possibly you are expecting roses, and the person would give you that one because that's what he's used to. Never ever condemn the background of somebody. Instead of using energy to condemn the background of somebody, use the energy to learn about the background of the person to make a big difference. Say amen. All right, so, well, just try to give you a background. I hope that I'll be able to exhaust what I have for us today. Amen? So, I want us to look at 10 reasons why, as a Christian and a minister, you must pray. Because, look, every one of us sitting here, we are ministers of a sort. The ministers are ministers. They are ministering in their own capacity as singers. The ushers are ministering to people by making them comfortable. Hallelujah. The airport stars are ministering. Everybody has a way or something he is executing. But as a minister or as a believer, there are reasons why you need to pray. Number one, prayer is a great act of faith. Say after me, prayer is a great act of faith. Yeah. Look, anytime you stand before God in prayer, what you are saying is that I'm very deficient. I draw my source and my strength from you. I am nothing unless you empower me. I need guidance from you. I need direction from you. I'm praying that your will for my life on earth should be established. I do not want to do what I feel like doing, but I want to do what you want for my life. So that is how come the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus and they said, we've seen that John has been teaching his people how to pray. He's been teaching them like how Bishop Atu is teaching us how to pray. Bishop Atu is teaching his disciples how to pray. Hallelujah. In the same way, can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus began to teach them. He taught them because he knew that once you don't know how to do it, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. That's why I'm teaching you about prayer. Until you have a certain knowledge and a certain level of understanding to the effect of prayer and the importance of prayer in your life, you will not execute it. And it will make you deficient in life and in your relationship with God. Say amen. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 18, we know the story. How a widow was able to transform situation. You can turn situations around through prayer, because the Bible says that if you have little faith, like a mustard seed, then you will say to this mountain, be removed yonder into the sea, and it shall be removed. Hallelujah. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. Listen, brothers, sisters in Christ, you always have to pray. Oh, you always. I see life as walking on a dangerous ground filled with landmines. You always need direction. Any decision you take is very important. Every decision, both the major ones and the minor ones, are very important. Hallelujah. Decision even on what to eat. Because some of us, when we are introduced to a certain new dish, or we find somebody, oh, we are happy, but you may not know why your mother never gave you that food. Because maybe the first time he gave it to you, you had a serious allergic condition that landed you in the hospital and you almost died. So even taking a decision to eat is a major decision. And that is why when you sit by the food, you need to pray. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. Oh yeah. Some of you, if you go to the restaurant and you go to the kitchen, you reconsider. You reconsider how you have been frequenting the place. You see, and your problem is that, oh, me, I don't eat from outside. I eat in restaurant. But the doctor says that I have salmonella. You have no idea. It's in that your posh place you are thinking about. Did you hear what I just said? So you got to pray. Men always, not sometimes, but always ought to pray. Yeah. Some of us, we have no idea. When you put your phone here, the radioactive waves, it starts cooking your brain. Are you aware? You didn't know. So that same thing that you call iPhone 15 Pro Max, which is the top of the pops, can still be the same thing that can damage your brain. Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is that every minor decision counts. And any step you are taking, you need to pray. Some of you, even the courses you have to choose, you have to pray. You only chose it because you prayed. But you pray to man. Praying means talking. You spoke to a man and the man said, oh, this is a very, very good course. If you are able to do nursing, you get, oh, if you go to America, you'll be very, very, very rich. But maybe that's not the choice. Oh, computer engineering, oh, is the order of the day. I mean, it's the order of the day. But you see, there is a plan. You see, there is something that God has in stock for you to do to enhance his original plan. You see, sometimes what it is that you have to make your choices, you know, regarding the courses that you have to do. But sometimes God may even lead you into a course that can enhance his original plan for your life. Yes. Supposed to be in drama. You are supposed to be in the film industry. Hey, look at you. You have gone to hustler. You know, as you are doing the medicine, you are not seeing top. And then even, or you are seeing top, but you can feel that you are not happy within. Though everybody is calling you doctor, but you are not happy inside. Have you noticed that there are people that have done courses that still they are not satisfied? Yeah, if you do architecture, look, you will be ever prosperous, ever after. It is God who has his original plan and mandate for our lives. Say amen. In the same way also, this woman, she stood. She had a problem in her house. She needed somebody to avenge her. She went to the judge. This judge didn't fear God. This judge didn't fear any man. So number one, the judge didn't fear the woman, let alone not fearing God, let alone fearing the woman. But you know what the woman did? The woman just operated under the principle of men always ought to pray. So always doesn't mean every day. Always means all the time. All the time. And it got to a point, he said, no, this woman, the way she's troubling me, the way is, you see, have you been in a room before? And there's some mosquito. And you want to sleep. And then you hear it from far. Have you experienced it before? And then you put on the light. I mean, this small mosquito, where can you find it in the room? And then you are moving around. This mosquito, if I get, look, by the time you realize, you may even have a fracture. And you break glasses. Because of this small mosquito, by the time you realize you have a crack on your television, you have things spoiled. Why? The mosquito is not putting you to rest. So we are like little mosquitoes. We are nothing. But when we stand before God in prayer, because of the continual disturbance, we attract the attention of God. Even God said, he said, put me to not to rest. Come with, to me with words. Don't put me to rest. Hallelujah. So this lady said, well, I'm not going to allow you until you avenge me. And look at what the judge said. He said, look, if I do not avenge this woman, she will not put me to rest. And then this is what the moral lesson, if you like, or the supernatural lesson. Even he said, listen to even what the canal judge is saying. Will God not avenge his own elect? Even if a canal person can say that, look, if I don't avenge this lady, I will have a problem. Is God not, are you not even better than this person? God will avenge you speedily. Hallelujah. I see God avenging you speedily. I see God avenging you speedily. Amen. Now, when you read further down, he says, I tell you that he will avenge you speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You see, so he's relating prayer to faith. That as you continue and you pursue, you keep praying, all right? You are exercising faith and trust in the Lord. Say amen. You need to, number one, you need to be very alert in your mind. You need to be very devoted, you know, to God in prayer. Hallelujah. So number one, prayer is an act of faith. Say after me, prayer is an act of faith. Say prayer is an act of faith. And always remember, the Bible says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Indirectly, it's like without prayer, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. Number two, pray because prayer makes you into a man of authority. Look at all the men who stood in prayer. God made them into men of authority. You see, when Jesus sees a dead person and then he says, arise. Jesus meets a blind man and then he just spits on mud and then puts it on the eye. He says, go and wash, and then a miracle happens. Jesus sees a man sitting by a pool and the man is waiting for somebody to push him into the pool. And then he said, do you believe you can be well? He says, I believe. He says, rise up. You see, Jesus was a man of authority, not because he was a son of God, but he was also a man of continual interaction and relationship with his Father. Prayer. Prayer will make you into a man of authority. Prayer will make you into a woman of authority. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Lady Pastor Amanda, I mean, she's one person like that, a woman of prayer. Yeah. I mean, it's like all her children. The first one, I say, wanted a boy. I wanted a girl. And she got a girl. The second one, wanted a boy, got a boy. The next one, he says he wants twins. She got twins. No, she's naturally a woman of prayer. She's always and constantly praying. When there are issues, even with her life, she goes on her knees in prayer. Listen, you need to learn that prayer can change things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes situations. And if you become a man and a woman of prayer, you become a man and a woman of authority. You know, as I see the prophet at crusades, praying and ministering to people, casting out demons. By the time he's even praying for people, demons are already coming out of people. You can see that he does it effortlessly, and it's simply because he has been at the throne room, the engine room, where demons are dealt with before he physically comes to deal with the issues. You see, the issue you are confronting, this is your first time you are confronting it. But you must confront issues in the realms of the spirit before you confront them in the natural. I'm telling you, because most of the things, sometimes even your headache you are having is a demon behind it. Doctors, they can't see beyond. All they can see is the probables, and all they can see is what that thing that cannot be seen has done to the organ. So they see what is wrong with the organ, but they don't see the cause of what gave rise to what is happening to the organ. Yes, if you don't know. So prayer makes you into a man of authority. Turn to somebody and tell him, prayer makes you into a man of authority. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, Matthew 7, 28, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe." You see, the scribes are very skillful in writing. They are very good at teaching the letter. Hallelujah. But Jesus didn't just minister with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but he ministered with the demonstration of power. When you become a man of authority, you don't only renew the minds of people, but you also clear the demons that are behind the things that are going on around. May you rise into becoming a man of authority. May you take charge of your home. Sometimes your home, the things that are going on, you can easily say, "Oh, my wife doesn't understand. My husband doesn't understand." And then you talk among yourself, and the demon is standing there and instigating, and causing more problems. Hey, rise up in prayer and contend, because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. You'll notice that your child you raised was a good son, an ideal son, and then along the line he begins to go wayward. You've tried everything, you've counseled people that can advise, are advising, but this child will not listen. Something has happened. Don't just resort only to advice. Stand and contend. That is why you must always pray. I said that is why you must always pray. Look, some of you, when we say, look, when you are moving into your new house, call us to come and dedicate it. You think it's okay to just move into your new house. The territorial spirits, they can influence people's behaviors. So you will see that your children were good. Then when they entered into a new house, their behavior has become something. That is why we dedicate. Sometimes even your business, you have no idea. Look, I had a guy when I was working in Ministry of Health. This guy was a cleaner. He comes to clean my consulting room and all that. And he was telling me what they used to do. He said that he was in Togo. That's where he was. And he was working with dwarfs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was telling me the things he was doing. And he said that, "Oh, Pastor, only," and he was a gang guy, "only none of you. Oh, small ones, I know of you, Oji. Kwe, nine, wofi, magic. Keke, what tram, akashi, ameya ju, nine, ameya ju, toffee." So you have your toffee shop, and you are doing your calculations. The calculation is not calculating. Somebody is doing his magic somewhere and he has sent some dwarfs. And there is something he told me. He said that, but when he sees where the believers are, and especially those who pay their tithe, he noticed that it's a no-go zone. Because there's a certain protection around their things. So I said, hey, Ofe. O'Malley. He said, oh, cry. And then with the following day, he brought me pictures. So you see, that your shop, the money's the motia. They are coming for the money and you don't know. You need to rise up and pray. You must raise a prayer altar even at your workplace. Raise a prayer altar in your house. Raise a prayer altar wherever you are. There must be somebody sat in your car, and after that experience, that was it. He dropped certain things in the realms of the spirit, and that car never worked. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. Turn to somebody and tell you, you always ought to pray. Tell you, you always ought to pray. God is turning you into a man of authority. Hallelujah. I say you are becoming a man of authority. Luke chapter 4, as I bring my message to a close. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. This was after the enemy had tempted him in the wilderness, and he was there waiting on the Lord and praying 40 days and 40 nights. When he came out, oh, he came out with power. He came out with authority. And the Bible says his fame spread abroad. You see, anytime you pray, you have a supernatural backing from above. You carry authority and you carry power. Things that you can naturally not do, supernaturally, the power that is behind you will address it. Never get tired of praying. Never cease praying. Because prayer changes things. Turn to somebody and tell him, prayer changes things. Oh, some things are changing in your life from today. I said some things are changing in your life from today. Your prayer life is changing from today. You are becoming devoted to prayer. You are becoming more alert in your mind and your heart dedicated to prayer. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for the Lord. Give Jesus a shout of praise. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Listen, you must do it. If you're a disciple, what you do is what you hear you do. What you hear you do. James chapter 1 verse 22. Look at that scripture very well. James 1 22. In conclusion. But be ye doers of the word. Be ye what? Do you know who a doer is? A doer is someone who hears the word and decides that he's going to apply it. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17. The Bible says that the people of Berea, they were more noble. You are becoming a noble Christian from today. I said you are becoming a noble Christian from today. Said they were more noble than the people of Thessalonica. And the reason simply was that after they had heard the word of God, that wasn't the end. They sat. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You see, your mind, the alertness of your mind is very important. Readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Lift your hand and pray. that Father in heaven, help me. Help me from today. Help me. Help me to be alert. Help me to be devoted. Devoted in the area of my communion with you, my relationship with you. Help me. Open your mouth and begin to pray wherever you are. The Bible says that when you pray, say. So open your mouth. When you pray, say. When you pray, say. Saying means that you open your mouth and speak to him. Lord, I've heard your word. I've heard your word. From this morning onwards, Holy Spirit, influence me. May I rise up as a man of faith. As a man who is able to command things from the closet. As a man of authority. Help me, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands wherever you are and pray. Lift your voice wherever you are. Pray that, Father, may I rise into glory. May I rise into a place of authority and power. Lift your voice. Let prayer ascend to heaven. Let prayer ascend to heaven. Let prayer ascend to heaven. Listen to me, church. Don't be excited about your sicknesses and your diseases. There are some people, when they are reporting, you can see that they are happy with their sickness. I can't sleep. I'm not able to sleep. Listen to me. I mean, the Bible says that when the Lord created all things, he created the sun for the day and the moon for the night. There was a purpose. And when he also created man, he caused a deep sleep to fall on man. So there is a place for sleep. If you cannot sleep, it's not normal. It is not normal. And listen to me, it's most likely that it is not a medical condition. It's a demonic condition. You cannot just be there and say, I cannot sleep, and then that's it. What are you doing about it? What have you done about it? Have you been devoted enough to stand in the place of authority in your closet to address the situation, or you are just broadcasting it around that this is my problem? I don't have appetite. Since I was born, I've never had appetite. You think it's normal? It's not normal. It's not normal. Listen to me. I dare tell you, church, that a big majority of the encounters of our lives, all right, are either under the influence of the Holy Spirit or under the influence of evil spirits. But you see, God has given us the two. He says, be anxious for nothing. If actually the treatment for anxiety neurosis is prayer. Anxiety neurosis is a neurotic condition. It's a milder form of a psychiatric condition. You naturally are anxious every time and every day. It's like you live in fear and walk in fear. Hey, 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 this thing don't work. Hey, hey, there are people like that. They live in fear, perpetual fear. It is not normal. But you can overcome it through the power of prayer
in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I say, I see somebody overcoming all the things that have been born out of evil intentions of the enemy. You are rising up and you are becoming devoted. I say, you are rising up and you are becoming devoted. Hey, I know that you are tired, but I am telling you that I've even come to a point where I've come to notice that tiredness is in the mind. There are times that you are very tired, but when a subject of interest is raised, suddenly you become alert. True or not true? Yeah. It's based on what you are interested in. And I'm saying that you must be interested in prayer. You must be in every problem that you called your pastor or your prophet. The solution is in your hands. The solution is in your hands. The solution is that the Bible is saying that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Never get tired. You see, I'm tired. No, the Bible is saying that you should pray. Don't say I'm tired. Look at it. Luke 18:1. Look at it. Let me explain that scripture. You see, there, I'm tired. I went to school. I didn't close early. I'm tired. It can be an excuse you can use. But I'm telling you that when you use that excuse, you've not understood that scripture. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. That word faint means not get tired. Not get tired. You should not be tired. You should never say, I'm tired. There is nothing like I'm tired when it comes to prayer. You must pray always. You must pray always. Hey, brother. A person comes to sleep in your hotel. And after that visit, things start not working. Hey, Charlie. The demonic forces, they have agendas. And their vehicles are human beings. Human beings are the vehicles. Because spirits cannot operate in the natural realm unless they get physical vehicles. Like the same way that the Holy Spirit needs physical vehicles like you to use. You are having a protracted, you know, confusion in your marriage. You think it's normal? It's not normal. It's not normal. Okay, I'm a family and I can't. I'm a small baby. I'm a small baby. Listen to me. It means that you have identified a spirit in that family, and you are ready to stand tall and say that, minus my husband, minus my wife, I am going to stand in the gap and contend on behalf until the influence of that spirit doesn't grip my spouse. Instead of complaining, you see, what would a complaint do? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for your church. Thank you that this morning you are igniting a strong fire. A strong awareness, strong power being released upon your sons and daughters who would come before you day and night to contend, to seek your face in prayer. God just gave me a word. Let me just read it to you. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Listen, if you learn to pray, you must know that your prayer is also stored in a bank. Turn to somebody and tell you, your prayer is stored in a bank. In times of need, it will place a very good. He said, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. Everybody say golden vials.
Golden vials.
Now these golden vials were full of odors, which are the prayers of. Which are the prayers of what?
Saints.
Which are the prayers of what?
Saints.
Yeah, so there are golden vials. As you stand to pray, there are golden vials that gather your prayer. And the Bible calls it an odor. You see, the perfume
perfume.
You see, you some of you men, you don't know. The lady likes you, but the perfume. No, the odor, not the perfume. She likes you. The yes she's not said is because of the odor. Once you do something about the odor, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised that it will come out quickly. In the same way also with God, your prayer is a perfume. He wants to smell your perfume all the time. I said God wants to smell your perfume all the time. I said God wants to smell your perfume all the time. And it is gathered into a golden vial. And it's being handled by angels. Listen, from today, you are going to rise up and pray. Father, help us to 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 pray. We stand before you in the midst of this great congregation. And we ask our Lord, anything that brings a setback in our prayer life, anything that has hijacked our prayer life, anything that has placed a hold on our prayer life, any embargo that has been placed on our prayer life, we lift it in the name of Jesus. We lift it in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, that you will drop prayer mantles upon your sons and daughters who will rise up and have a desire and a determination and a willingness to stand in the gap to pray. Help us, Holy Spirit. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are my helper.
You are my helper.
I come before you.
I come before you.
This precious morning.
This precious morning.
Help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
Deliver me from weakness.
Deliver me from weakness.
Deliver me from tiredness.
Deliver me from tiredness.
From today, Holy Spirit,
from today, Holy Spirit,
help me to seek the face of God.
Help me to
touch my prayer life.
Touch my prayer life.
Touch my prayer life.
Touch my prayer life.
And turn my prayer life around. Thank you that you are making me into a man of faith.
Thank you for making me a man of faith.
Thank you that you are making me into a man of authority. In Jesus' precious name.
In Jesus' precious.
And all said amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. As we close our eyes, I want to pray for you briefly. Somebody invited you. You came all by yourself. Listen, we are on our way somewhere. We are on our way to heaven. God is preparing his people. He's equipping us. And he's washing us and cleansing us with the word. Preparing our hearts. Preparing our souls. Preparing our spirit man for eternity. Your life here on earth is transient. It's very short. How long are you going to live here on earth? But the question I want to ask you today is, where are you going to spend eternity when you die? But I have good news for you. The good news is that God has made provision, and the provision is in his son. The Bible says that he that have his son have life. And so I believe that you can have eternal life today if only you can receive Jesus into your heart. I want to pray for you. You want to surrender your life to him. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Wherever you are, can you just lift your hand? Somebody invited you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lift it. God bless you. Lift it. Lift it above your head. Lift it. Lift it. Today is your day of salvation. God bless you. I can see it. Lift it up. Lift it. Lift it. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted, can you just walk to me? Just walk to me. Walk to me. Ushers, help them to walk. Walk to me. Walk to me. I want to pray for you. Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is knocking. Jesus is beckoning you. Oh, yes. Come, 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 come. Come to the mercy seat of Christ. Oh, yes. Run to the mercy seat of Christ. Come, 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 come. He loves you. 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 God bless you. Come, 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 come. I want to still beckon somebody to join us who is not too sure about his salvation. You can be sure about your salvation. You can be sure, because when Jesus comes in, you would know that the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of you. You will know it. You want me to pray with you? Just join us right now. Join us. Join us. Join us. Join us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Into that holy place where His mercy have us need.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Come running, come running, come running to that mercy seat where
oh, yes.
Is calling. His grace will be your power. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing.
Hallelujah.
Come running.
Precious ones, can you lift your hands to God? Pray this simple prayer. I'm leading you and helping you to pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me the way I am. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. This morning I come to you. I am a sinner. I pray for your grace. I pray that you save me. I open my heart to you. Come and live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.